Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Here we are again. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, here with you again for another episode of Alive to Love, the No BS Bishop. If we are alive to love, we have discovered that all lesser values are simply potential BS. What I am seeking to pursue and to discuss and to bring before you week in and week out is that there is no greater truth in this world, no greater truth to change the human existence. There's no greater need for learning truth than what is found in the power, the virtue, the beauty, and the significance of love. It is the value. It is that value that we are called upon to be known for. If we're people of faith, any kind of faith, but especially people of the Christ following, then it is love that we will be known for, and by this all will know that we follow Christ, and that is that we have love for one another. And the one another is all others, all others. Love your neighbor as yourself, love your enemy. So when Jesus said that you would be known for love above all other things, that we would be known that we are his followers for love, then that love will be for neighbor, that love will be for enemy, that love will be for God. And it is a love that defines all other purposes. If you were here with us last week, you know that I began a subject that is near and dear to my heart and my thinking. I knew it would be challenging to cover in one episode, so I said, well, we're going to do this in a two-part episode. So if you missed last week, go to WPCA radio website, the WPCA.org, and go to the archives of the No BS Bishop, and you will find on last week's episode that this week is the second part of that. I hope I just said that right. So anyway, we're covering part two here, and I'll cover enough of part one to review so that if there's some pieces that seem to be missing, I hope you'll find it to be evident in what I'm talking about. And what I started with last week is this, that there is often a notion afoot that if we're going to love, we're going to have, quote, tough love. Now, I understand what we're after there. I've been the father of two children, both of whom survived their teenage years. No, I guess maybe I survived their teenage years. I've also been a foster father on a couple of occasions. I've worked with respite foster care children. I understand what that kind of love that has to be strong. It's got to be tough. It's got to be managed well, and it's got to be non-codependent. I'm going to talk about that somewhat today. And that is, I understand why we say we have to have, quote, tough love. But what I really believe, and this is what charges me, it charges my battery, it causes me to set up and pay attention in life, is this. I believe that love is love is love is love. That if love is love, then I don't have to call it tough love. Now, that's for me. You do what you will, but I'm challenging some notions that seem to be accepted widely, but not for me. I guess I have always been that contrarian. I'm always looking for something that is more satisfying, it's more defining, it's better instructing for me. And when I hear that we have to love, then we add the word but. I'm on alert. Something goes off, an alarm, like a smoke alarm goes off in my head. We have to love, but I, for me, have discovered that love, but is going to change what love really is. It's going to cause it to be something other than love. Last week I said, you know, when I say sirloin steak, I don't have to say I need a sirloin steak that is a sirloin steak. I'm saying sirloin steak because I love sirloin steak. Sirloin steak is sirloin steak is sirloin steak. Now, there may be various levels of sirloin steak. I get it, different grades. But a sirloin cut is a sirloin cut. So I don't have to say, look, I want my sirloin steak to be a sirloin steak. If I go to the butcher, I don't have to repeat that. When I'm talking about life and I'm talking about love, I don't have to say tough love. I know love in itself is tough. Love is credible. Love is the value that will carry my life forward. Love holds all things together, and it is in and of itself capable of doing what I cannot do alone. So I have discovered that genuine love is what we have to talk about. Genuine, authentic, the real deal love. Real deal love is too passionate for timidity. It's too strong to be weak. It's too vital and powerful and incredible, transcendent, transforming. Real love doesn't have to be upped. You don't have to up the ante on love to make love love. You don't have to call it tough love. If it is love, love by itself is what will be strong enough to hold you together. So what I'm going to be with somebody is I'm going to be a lover. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my children. I'm going to love my grandchildren. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to love my job. I'm going to love relationships around me. I'm going to love nature. I'm going to love the world, because love is credible. Love is the value that is strong enough to be the power that transforms everything surrounding me. You know, and by the way, speaking of the world around us, you know, in a world today, we live in a world that is cultivating cynicism. It's cultivating doubt. It cultivates casting aspersions. You know, in a world like that, in a world that cultivates cynicism, it's a revolutionary act to cultivate love. When we're in a world that cultivates division and us versus them, a world that says they're evil, we're good, they're demonic, we're not. In a world like that, love is genuinely a revolution. It's revolutionary to say, I love my enemies. And so I would invite you to a revolution of love. I would invite you to a love, that is tough enough, strong enough, bold enough to live love all by itself without having to be described in anything except by its own nature. Love is love. So there's where we're going to go for this second half. We started last week. Into a love that is everything. That's the way to put it. Love that is everything. I mentioned last week that I am a book collector. I love books. Books really turn my crank. Now, is every book that I own a book that I've read cover to cover? No. Oh, no, 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 no. But I do love books for the nature of some chapter, some maybe a half of it, maybe all of it, maybe a quote of it, maybe just the author's story in a book is enough for me to own that book and to go back and review it. And in my lifetime of, oh my, going back to my college days, I began collecting books like a beaver is chopping trees down to build a dam in a stream. I have gathered books from hither and yon. From that day till now, I have looked for books on love that would satisfy my eager curiosity. I have eagerly looked for something that talks about love in a way that is beyond the ordinary, because love is beyond the ordinary. Love is extraordinary, and I've looked for something that would be fully passionate about the description of love. And I've had a few brush-ups in books. I've read a few here and there that they do come close to what I feel like should be expressed. But I have genuinely found that most books on love, whether they're books written by people of faith and Christianity or books that have been written by secular people who have research or a fundamental scientific approach or maybe a romantic approach, those books are good, but they haven't really covered the topic as I have thought it ought to be. I believe that book hasn't been written yet, at least in my own taste. I don't think that book's written yet. I've got one in my computer about love, and I hope maybe it'll come close, but I bet somebody out there read it and say, I don't know. That Randy Dean tried. He tried hard, but didn't quite cover the subject. And here's why I think that is. It is true because love is an ever-evolving power. Love isn't a formula. Love isn't just an experience, though it will give you an experience. Love isn't simply a proposal or a philosophic approach to life. Love is a power. It's like the universe itself. It's ever expanding. Our universe, that this little planet, this little blue dot planet called Earth is hanging in, our universe is expanding at the speed of light while I'm speaking now. It's expanding at the speed of light in every direction, in a full ball. If you point one way, then it's going the other way as well. Wherever you could point, the universe is expanding at the speed of light. That, to me, is what love is. Love is ever expansive. It's ever explosive. It's ever passionate. It's ever on a wild ride forward. It's an evolutionary cycle. Love for all of our lives evolves. We know that. You know, when you were a child, you loved like a child. You had a puppy, you fell in love with that puppy. But then that puppy messed the carpet and you weren't so sure if you loved that puppy anymore. Maybe that puppy bit you. Maybe that puppy ran away and broke your heart. Well, you evolved from that childhood love towards something else, because love, you know, and love puts you on that uncertain ride. You know, talking about a puppy, that puppy grows up to be a dog. That dog grows old just like any living thing. And, you know, and a dog, the length of a dog is far, far shorter. The length of life for a dog is far, far shorter than any human existence. And so, you know, I'm 67. I've had several dogs that I love dearly, but I've had to say goodbye. And I know that my love evolves. I know that, you know, when we say, oh, I'm so heartbroken by the loss of a love, or somebody broke my heart and they left me, they destroyed my love. I don't believe that. No, nobody's that powerful. No one can destroy your love. Injure? Sure. But nobody, no human is so powerful they can destroy God. God cannot be hurt. God cannot be destroyed. You can't bruise God. God is love. Love never fails. See what I'm saying? So going back to my original proposition for last week and now this week, to say that we need tough love, or we can love, but you can't add anything to love. You can't make love more love when love is love. You can't cause love to be more of a love. If it is love, it is love. And if I am a person of love, then I'm on an evolutionary course. I'm exploring. I'm moving at the speed of light to the full expression of love. And when my life on this earth comes to an end and I close my eyes and then open my eyes again, I will be looking into the eyes of a indescribably wonderful, extravagant, beautiful, transcendent, more than any imagination has ever wrapped itself around. I'll be looking in the eyes of love. God is love, and love is God. You see what I'm saying? Any descriptor for me. Now you do what you will. I'm not telling you what you have to do. I'm not trying to should on you. I'm just trying to tell you that for me, for Randy Dean, love needs no introduction if it is love. Love is alone the credible power of God. And when I have come to love, I have come to some expression of God, and I'm going to follow that all the way through in life as that life needs to be lived. You see, God loves me precisely the way I am, precisely, not in a way that is codependent. Now, that's what I want to talk about some today. God isn't in this game of love with me to somehow or another, you know, woo me in so that he can control me, manipulate me, massage my ego in certain ways. No. God is far and away too much love for that. Codependency is that which causes people to work harder on other people than that person is working on themselves. So when I'm codependent, I'm seeking to change you. I'm seeking to work on you, to get you to do something for yourself and for me, because you just need to change. And if I can just work on you hard enough, you'll certainly change. No, that's not love. That's codependency. So, you know, some people might say, oh my, your love for that person needs to be helped. No, I would suggest you're not even loving them. You're operating in a dysfunction. That's, again, my view of that. You're operating in a dysfunction, and you've wrapped the word love around it. What we have to understand is that love, the love of God for Randy Dean, is that he loves me the way I am, not the way he would have me to become. What he knows about the influence of love is that I will change as I'm exposed to that love, not because he is necessarily trying to push on certain buttons or push on certain limits in me. He knows that when I get in the middle of that love, I'll look around me and think, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, I'm living too small. Oh my goodness, I'm living too limited. Oh my goodness, I'm not going in a direction that's healthy for me. And it's not God saying, hey, you big dummy, you dysfunctional weirdo, listen to me. You're not going the direction you're going. No. He just fills my arena of life with love. Then I sit in the middle of that love and I realize, oh my, there's so much more to life than what I've been doing. Look at me. I could be over there loving that way. Oh, I could be in the depth of this experience if I would just surrender to that evolutionary power and pull of love. You see, God loves the world the way it is, and not in the way we would have it be changed. No, God loves it right there. You see, God is loving, not as a frail codependent, but he's loving in perfection. He's loving in love that is love that is love that is love. You see that? He's loving. He's loving not as a frail codependent who's going to have his feelings hurt if we don't change. His love is secure enough to just be love. But he's loving perfectly. So that out of that genesis, out of that beauty, out of that significance, all things are and will be made new because his love will not fail. The stagnant view, the fundamentalist hard thinking that says we have to stop being bad people, we have to obey this, we have to obey that, and we should love, but we got to tell people the truth. No. We should just simply, again, from Randy's point of view, we should simply just allow the full love of God to be the full love of God and all that God's love is. And when that love is expressed, all things begin to change. It's like the sun hitting a freshly planted seed. It's like the sun falling on the face of someone who hasn't seen the sun in a matter of days. It's like the sunrise on the early morning. It's like the beauty of it ever rising and the warmth of sun that changes everything. It changes darkness into light, not because the sun demands its way, not because the sun is insisting that we somehow pay attention. The sun is not in the sky crying out, listen to me, I'm trying to be tough light here. Watch me, I'm trying to illuminate your life, but you're not paying attention. No, the sun doesn't need any PA system. The sun doesn't need any value other than being the sun arising in the morning. And it will rise and it will shine irrespective of any darkness that's around it. And darkness will flee at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. Darkness will run. It'll just flee. Not because a gunshot went off and darkness was given, you know, this town's not big enough for the two of us. You're going to have to get out by midnight. No. The darkness just knows there's no room. There's no room left because the sun is rising. That's my point about love. When love arises, any stagnant, fundamentalist, harsh thinking we have is just so horribly inadequate to change people, to cause anybody to be or do anything differently, because love itself is the sun rising. Love itself is the light that illuminates the world. It is the magnificence of God himself being God himself. Love comes to the room with no purpose other than to be love. It won't share a space, not because it's demanding, because love is not demanding. Love simply is love. And when love enters the room, then the room has no room for anything else. The room has no room for hate. Love fills that room like the sun rising in the sky. It fills the sky. Love has the capacity, the full strength, the full endurance. Love by itself is in and of itself the toughness that we all seek. If I want to be tough, then I need to come to the subject of love. I don't need to bring the subject to of love to toughness. I don't need to say, hey, love, let me take you to tough 101. Listen, love, I know you're all fine and good and you give good feelings and it's a great experience, but listen to me, love, you better learn how to be strong. You better learn how to be tough. It's like teaching the sun how to shine. It's like giving the sunrise in the morning a lesson on how to be bright. It doesn't need a brightness lesson. It doesn't need a brightness pill. The sun by itself is altogether bright and beautiful all by itself. Love is altogether bright and beautiful all by itself. I heard a great preacher, T.D. Jakes, one time say, God is God is God is God. He's God all by himself. He doesn't need any help to be God. He doesn't look for anybody to teach him how. He's never experienced any lack of understanding as to how to fulfill his purpose. He is fully God all by himself. You could say that the same. You could say that in the same manner about love. Love has never needed an instructor. Love has never needed a mentor. Love doesn't scratch its head and wonder, how do I do that? How can I manage this? Oh my, I've never been at this challenge before. That's not love. Love is love, and it has the expansive power of light. Love is God, and God is love, and as such, then love is the full expression of any lack. It will fill any lack with its very own supremacy, its very own transcendent supremacy. It is supreme beyond all other values and powers. When we reach for other values and powers, as the title of my broadcast teaches you, when we reach for other values and powers, we're reaching into potential BS. We're looking for manipulation, which is, as I promised I would talk about, codependency. You see, codependency is developed when we have decided that the only way to really change other people is to live their life for them. The only way that we can possibly get an alcoholic to lay down their alcoholism, the only way that that's possible is if I'm present in their life at all times and always, if I'm present to make their choices for them, either implicitly or complicitly, if I'm present to be the antagonist at all times to make sure that they feel my displeasure when they have failed, or they feel my love in a way, my quote-unquote love, That is that I would be able to compensate for their issues rather than simply to surrender codependency, to recognize, you know, you and I each have a life to live, and that life is our very own. I'm not here to live your life. I'm not here to fill the gaps for your life. I can hardly manage my own life. I'm not looking to tell you how to live your life. I'm busy managing my life. And in that management, self-management, I don't have a lot of time to live your life for you, because if I am trying to make that time to live your life for you, that is codependency. That is how we become sick. That is how we become a codependent, really, is somebody who's drunk on seeking to control others. A codependent is somebody whose addiction isn't to a Jack Daniels or to opioids or some other self-prescription. A codependent is addicted to somebody else's life, managing it, living it, examining it, going through that other person's life in a level that is so unhealthy and so diseased. When I am in love, then I am separate from having to manage you, because I am full of the beauty and the value and the strength of love. Love for myself, love for neighbor, love for life, so that love is enough. I don't need to express something toward you other than, as I said earlier, about the sun rising in the morning. All I got to do is let love rise, let love shine, and love is enough. So you can tell, I've gone through today's broadcast rapidly. I may have to go into a third part on this whole issue of tough love, question mark. We don't need tough love. We need love. Love alone is the credible value of life. Love all by itself is love. And as T.D. Jakes said about God, God is God all by himself. I want to propose to you that love is love all by itself, awaiting our discovery, awaiting our passionate reach for it. So let's close today, as we've closed oh so many of these No BS Bishop broadcasts, by breathing. It's an exercise. Join me, would you? Breathe in. Hold and exhale. Breathe in again and hold it, slowly exhale. Now do this as an exercise, as a lifestyle, not just as an exercise. Do this daily. Find a moment where you can quiet yourself. Put things aside. Put your phone down, your computer away. Turn off the TV. Go outside. Get alone. Go into a closet. Just get alone and center yourself at a point of just breathing in the most beautiful way you know how. And then I want you to hear three words every human being is dying to hear. Mother Teresa said there's more hunger for love than there is for bread. And I want you to hear me say to you, I love you. You are crying out to hear that from somebody. And all I can do is give you this moment on this radio broadcast, this podcast, or however you're listening, is to give you a moment and say, I love you. Now go out and give that away, because you can't keep what you don't give. So give it to somebody. Give those same three words. They're magic. They're absolutely evolutionary. It's an evolutionary beauty. It will grow. I promise you it will grow.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.